You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores. Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
With us in the studio now, fitness expert and personal trainer, Scott Roberts. Happy New Year, Scott.
Happy New Year, Hannah. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. And you?
I'm very well. It's good to be back.
Yes, it's good to have you back. We talked last month about kind of surviving the Christmas season and not feeling guilty for eating too much and not exercising enough. But that was kind of with the view of the fact that throughout the rest of the year, we're kind of doing all right. So now you're going to help us get into the zone of starting the year right.
Right. Well, that actually leads me into something that I was going to talk about, and something that is like what you do between now and the end of January or now and the end of February will not change your life massively. But what you do between now and December could potentially change the next 20, 30, 40 years of your life if you get it right. So I suppose one of the things we will be talking about is not looking at this as a short-term fix. Everywhere you look at the moment, there's four-week plans, six-week plans. Most people will have gained weight over Christmas. It doesn't matter. It was always going to happen. I think I've only got one client that didn't gain weight over Christmas.
Wow.
And if she did gain weight, I wouldn't have cared. But it's very easy to fall into the trap of thinking, right, I need to lose this weight as quick as possible. Because I'm now like going backwards. And that's a mentality people probably have. And it's probably the wrong way of going about it.
And the thing is, I mean, everybody knows it's become a bit of a joke, but the whole New Year's resolution thing, and you know that people might join the gym in January and might start, you know, looking at their nutrition and changing their lifestyle a bit. But come February, a lot of people, sadly, you know, I'm sure a lot of people will have done it at least once, kind of stopped going to the gym so much, eating a bit more and gone back to their usual habits. The trick is keeping it up.
Yeah, and it comes back to a lot of the things we spoke about last year, committing to something that you can realistically do month after month and year after year. If you don't see yourself doing a particular thing in September or October of this year, it's probably the best, it's not the best way of going about it in January. We need to think much longer term than this, because you can still get amazing results with a long-term approach, but your success will more likely be long-term, obviously, as well, because the approach suits you.
Is it better then to kind of start small. You know, if people are starting from scratch and are thinking, you know, haven't been to the gym for however many weeks, months, or even years, and are thinking, right, this is my year, I'm going to start it. Even if it's not the gym, it doesn't have to be gym. It can be regular exercise or whatever. But if people are like, okay, I'm going to start, I'm going to really go for it this year. Instead of start deciding you're going to do 5 times a week, 4 times a week, or even maybe 3 times a week, and then slowly but surely doing less and less and then stopping. Is it better that people start with once a week or twice a week, you know, kind of start small? What would you suggest?
All I would suggest is whatever your approach is, make sure it's realistic.
Okay.
If you can realistically do 3 or 4 times a week, then go for it.
Mm.
But it's not the end of the world if life kicks in, you've got a busy week at work or problems with the kids or whatever, and you end up doing 2 sessions, as an example.
Yeah.
The mistake everyone makes is I'm going to go to the gym 7 days a week
mm.
and wonder why they're not going 0 times in February.
Yeah.
But one thing I just want to touch on before, because a lot of the stuff we're going to talk about from a dieting and training point of view, I always talk about it being individualized, but I think a lot of people struggle to commit to something because they don't actually know their reasons for doing it. So I've just got basically got 4 questions I want people to spend a bit of time on. And it's something I do similar with my clients. So where are you at physically and mentally right now? What negative impact is it having on your life? And then where would you like to be in 6 to 12 months time? And what positive impact will this have on your life? Now, doing that, it will just give you some clarity on where you're at. Obviously, when we write stuff down and we get it out of our head, it can clear our head, which can make things easier. But when you know where you're at and where you want to be, it just gives you that clarity on what needs doing, rather than just because it's the 1st of January or the 2nd of January thinking, right, I'm starting a diet. Well, actually, why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? And where do you want to be further down the line? And I think until you've done that, you're always just going to be going from diet to diet. You're going to be relying on this motivation that comes and goes and doesn't really exist. And then people wonder why they're always stopping and starting.
Does it matter what reasons people have as to why they want to do it? I mean, does it matter, you know, if people are thinking, oh, I want to lose weight because it would be better for my health, you know, I'm putting too much strain on my body, my heart, things like that. Obviously, they're really good reasons. But does it matter if people are wanting to do it just for kind of vanity reasons, just to feel better about themselves, wanting to look better for their partner or in the mirror, or even if they're, you know, if they're single, wanting to attract someone or whatever, for those kind of, I mean, does it matter what the reasons are?
If it works for someone, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
A large part of the reason I went and started going to the gym was pure vanity.
Mm.
And probably a lack of self-confidence when I was younger. So, you know, whether it's vanity and wanting to look good on the beach or look better naked in the bedroom, there's not, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm.
But as long as you've got your deeper reasons for doing it, and that can keep you motivated and disciplined, then great. Obviously, as you know, we're all getting a little bit older. Don't like to admit it, but we have to look after our health more. Mm. And we see it in friends and family members. Health issues appear, and we become a little less mobile, and that has an impact on our life. So that is something that I am a bit more conscious of, just looking after myself. So from a longevity point of view,
Something that I've sort of been made aware of in more recent years about how health issues can be a really kind of nasty surprise. You know, you can have people that are suffering with health issues that can be all kinds of things that have been going on for a number of years. And they're quite clearly issues that might not be related to fitness or nutrition at all. But either way, it can be a long, long drawn out thing, which is awful, obviously. And then you get people who are seemingly absolutely fine. I'm sure everyone can think of someone in their lives who's really overweight, has a really bad diet, smokes and drinks a lot, doesn't do any exercise, and seems to be absolutely fine. And everyone's kind of baffled. Well, how is it they're okay? But everyone's kind of okay until they're not. And I don't want to say this to scare people at all. I really, really don't. But, you know, when people have issues with the heart, things like that, it's often a sudden thing that like comes out of nowhere.
This has turned morbid very quickly, Hannah.
Sorry,
Happy New Year, everyone.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. No, you're but it's true, but isn't you're right. it? But it's scary.
We can only control what we can control.
Yeah.
And that is eating a generally healthy diet of, you know, 80% whole foods as such, exercising consistently, managing our stress, managing our sleep. The rest will be taken over by whichever God you believe in.
Yeah, absolutely. So we just have to help ourselves, don't we, really?
Exactly.
No one can be blamed.
Like I said, you know, as we get older, so everything appears, whether it's like I keep touching on, mobility issues, health issues, heart, cardiovascular issues. Control what we could control. Mm-hmm. And that comes down to generally the boring stuff of eating your vegetables, drinking some water, controlling your calorie intake. So not, you know, not overeating, not over snacking, keeping an eye on your weight, and just moving as much as we can.
I, like I'm sure many other people, have still got chocolate and biscuits and things left over from Christmas in my house. And it's always the same every year. I kind of think, oh, I don't know what to do. I've booked for a gym class tomorrow. I've got a class booked for tomorrow. I'm kind of in the zone or getting in the zone. The only thing that's been holding me back is my back issues, which is really annoying. That's really kind of stopping me from exercising, which is really, really annoying. But anyway, apart from that, I've got things planned exercise wise. The issue I have, and healthy eating, all of that, yeah, good, no problem with that. Apart from all the chocolate and things left over in the house. And my brain kind of goes, is it best to kind of eat it quickly and get it out the way, or eat a little bit every day for the next few months? Because when I'm like in the zone with exercise and stuff, I don't buy chocolates and biscuits. I don't have that stuff in the house normally.
And obviously a lot of people are, but the diet has to go with the training, or the training otherwise never happen.
Yeah.
So really there's four options.
Oh, okay. I like four options.
I think there's four. I may add some more. Anyway, number one, you eat it all tonight and you wake up tomorrow pretending it didn't happen.
Okay.
Number two, you have a little bit each day as your like flexibility as such, your 10-20% of your daily food allowance, or, and you drag it out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And that would be okay, would it?
Yeah, fine.
Okay, so we need to cut out all chocolate and all biscuits.
No, if the other 80% of your daily or weekly diet is all the usual healthy whole foods we talk about, then some chocolate here and there, even every day, isn't going to have a massive impact.
Okay.
And people can still lose weight doing that if their overall calories are fine. So that's number two. Number three, what was number three? Throw it all in the bin.
I knew you were going to say that.
Number four, take it to your local food bank, or give it to next door's kids.
Give it away.
Make it next door's problem.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Okay, good options. I like the option of having a little bit every day, but the key is little bit, isn't it? That's the real key.
So I'll be honest, over the last 2 days, I took option one.
Okay. I'll be honest, I have two. But I still haven't got rid of it all.
And let's be honest, it's the same with everyone else. But some point, I had this conversation with a client yesterday, and at some point, we just need to admit that we're adults and take responsibility. Now, how you take that responsibility, I don't really care, but you can't, you know, some people in 3 weeks' time will, some people will be saying this week they're going to start a diet, and in 3 weeks' time, still using Christmas chocolates as an excuse for not doing it.
Yeah.
And then in 2 weeks after that, they'll be using Easter as an excuse. Mm. So sometimes we just need to act like the adult we are, take responsibility and do what needs to be done.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry to tell you.
No, that, no, right? It's absolutely true. No, it's absolutely. And in terms of diet and things like that, so putting the Christmas chocolates aside, just a gentle kind of reminder of what a balanced diet means.
Yeah, so I've got a few things written down because I kind of wanted to come at it from a slightly different angle. I think a good way of doing this for people, so you're not making these drastic changes and end up eating boring foods that you hate, I would just, for the next week or 2 weeks, write down every single thing that goes in your mouth. Good, bad, and indifferent. Mm-hmm. It gets written down or logged in MyFitnessPal or whatever app you want to use. And then assess your progress at the end of that week or 2 week period. So whether it's the scales, your measurements, I would highly advise doing photos and measurements because the scales will fluctuate. Now, let's take 2 weeks as an example. If you haven't lost weight at the end of the 2 weeks, I'm approaching this whole thing from a weight loss point of view. Mm-hmm. Just look at that list and pick off the easy wins that you can knock off. And that may be halving your alcohol intake. It may be halving your takeaway intake. You may notice a lot of snacks that have crept in. Half that, whatever it may be. And this is why you need to be honest. Because if you've only written down the tuna salad, you're going to be wondering why you've gained 3 pounds after 2 weeks and you've had two tuna salads every day.
Mm.
So it's very easy to pretend the, I don't want to use this phrase, but the bad stuff isn't happening.
Yeah.
If you're actually honest with yourself about all that stuff, because you can still do it, you can then adjust the right things.
Mm.
So that's one way. Now, like I said, you may not have lost weight. So then you go back into that list and look at the easy wins. Now, one of the big mistakes people will be making at this time is probably not eating enough. So they'll be 2 weeks in. Let's say they've lost half a stone or potentially even more. It's probably best to look at that list and think, actually, where can I add some food in? Because it's not actually going to be sustainable. It's just a crash Christmas diet that people always do. And then they wonder why they've rebounded in, say, February or March. So again, if you have lost lots of weight, but you're always hungry and you've got all these cravings that you're really struggling to fight, start looking at where you can maybe add some stuff in, which kind of leads me to my next point. It's very easy to think that it's your portion sizes and main meals that are causing the problems. And very often it's not. You know, if you eat a sensible size main meal that fills you up, you'll be snacking less, you'll be craving less, and there's less risk of binging. Again, the big mistake people make in January or just generally when they start a diet, they start eating like rabbits.
Mm.
And when you look at their meals, they're actually snacks. So as an example, there may be one or two boiled eggs for breakfast. That's not a main meal. That's a snack. Their lunch may be a few slices of tomato with a tin of tuna. Again, it's such a tiny meal. So fill yourself up at main meals. Do not be scared of feeling full. And that will then prevent all the mindless snacking, the snacking you're pretending that isn't happening, stealing the kids' food. And then when the weekend comes around, you know, the binging or, you know, the overeating, the overcompensating for just being miserable Monday to Friday.
Mm.
Now, from a general structure point of view, obviously vegetables, a variety of vegetables, it does not matter what. But, you know, the wider variety, the better from an overall health point of view. Try to have a large portion of veg in as many main meals as you can. As a guide, say half the plate, a large portion of protein, and to a degree that can be whatever you want. Rather, I see people having like a tin of tuna with their salad, but it's one of them really small tins of tuna. Have the bigger normal size ones. I think it's about 125 grams, but again, don't undereat at this point. So a large portion of protein, quarter of your plate, a load of veg, unlimited, as a guide, half your plate, and then the other quarter of that plate can be some carbohydrates. A good example of a portion size of carbohydrates would be something like the microwavable packs of rice you can buy in more or less most supermarkets now.
Yeah.
Half of one of them.
Half of one of them. Yeah,
as an example.
Okay.
But again, people are scared of eating carbohydrates. So if we look at that plate, you've, and I'm talking about a proper size dinner plate here, half of that plate is a load of vegetables. Quarter of that plate is your protein. So a full-size chicken breast, as an example, rather than half.
Mm.
And then, say, half a bag of rice. How filling that would that be?
Yeah.
How long during the day would it keep you full? How less likely would you be wanting to pick at things?
Mm.
But again, if you take that structure, that can be more or less any meal you want. So it can be your typical bodybuilding, boring, chicken, broccoli, rice. But it can be a prawn stir fry with some rice or noodles. In a way, if you fill it full of veg, it can be spaghetti bolognese. It can be something else that I can't think of right now.
a curry.
Yeah, it can be a curry. It can be a chili. It can be eggs on toast.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at, you know, take them 1 to 2 boiled eggs as an example for breakfast. If you put them 2 eggs on 2 slices of toast, you're still roughly around 350 calories, but you've made it that much more filling.
Mm.
And there's people probably listening now thinking, well, I can't eat toast and lose weight. You can.
Yeah.
That is my Christmas and New Year gift to you. You can have toast and lose weight.
Woohoo! But that's a great gift. Just,
I've been speaking about frame rate. So that it could be putting some spinach in the scrambled eggs. Scramble the 2 eggs, put some spinach in, put it on 2 slices of toast. So that's a way of staying full, following a basic meal structure guide that you can manipulate for different types of food. Keep you full, keep you on track, keep you towards your goal.
Mm.
And then if you follow that, again, 80, 90% of the week, and then you put in a few chocolates here and there, a few biscuits here and there. Where people go wrong is on one particular day, it's a few chocolates, a few biscuits, 2 glasses of wine. If you kind of split that up over the week instead of over the course of a day, you're cutting back a little bit. You're still having flexibility. It makes the whole process more enjoyable and more manageable.
Yeah.
Rather than that, I mean, how many people have started today thinking, oh my God, I'm starting a diet. I can't eat this. I can't eat that. And they're miserable on day one. How are you meant to stick to that?
Yeah, exactly.
And people wonder why they've given up by January.
Yeah. It shouldn't be miserable, should it?
It should. Life should not be miserable,
no,
Hannah.
No, exactly. Well, thank you, Scott. Lots of great advice as usual. Thank if people you. Want to get in touch with you or follow you on Instagram, how do they do that?
Go straight to my Instagram at ScottOnlineFatLoss. Give me a follow. Drop me a message to say hello. That's where you'll find me.
Great. Scott Online Fat Loss. And you're always posting lots of videos with advice and things.
You'll be sick of me by the end of January. Yeah.
Thank you, Scott, very much.
Thank
Happy
you.
New Year
Happy
and see you
New
next
Year,
month.
Everyone.
Bye-bye.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.